Shut up and sit down.
It's our weekly fantasy sports podcast here on Breakfast with Benz at Trib Live. Tim Benz with you. Pleased to be joined, as always, by Jeff Erickson from RotoWire. Best fantasy analyst, best fantasy site in the business. A reminder for those of you that check out this podcast for fantasy information and for all of our podcasts, as of the 18th of July, the Breakfast with Benz podcast, all of the podcasts will be expanding our reach. Content's not going to change. You can still get it every day at Trib Live, but the podcast will be part of the Fans First Sports Network. If you're someone who listens on podcast platforms like Spotify, Apple, just resubscribe there. Not going to cost you anything else. Again, that's as of July 18th. All of our Breakfast with Benz podcasts will be on a new feed. Just search Breakfast with Benz or the Fans First Network and resubscribe to automatically get all of our latest podcasts from Trib Live. Jeff, good to catch up with you again. Are you over Knobgate as a Reds fan, or are you still wallowing in it after the way that turned out against the Nationals?
I would say I'm exulting in it. I'm enjoying it. I get giddy seeing highlights of LA De La Cruz. I mean, that home run went out so fast. It was amazing. You know, it got perpetuated because Dave Martinez after the game was complaining about how LA celebrated the homer. But you know what? Don't like it. Don't give up homers. Don't try to get into his dome by stopping the game and questioning the knob. I mean, you do that before the game. It was clearly trying to do him something to throw him off. It wasn't, I was just asking. Well, just ask before the game then, if you're just asking. No, you're trying to get in his head and it didn't work. It backfired. Reds have been running like crazy in that series too. You'd love to see it.
Is that something that was known in Reds fan circles, like that they use this thing on the bottom of his bat?
I did not know that. No, I learned something yesterday there. And to be clear, it's during batting practice, you have this tracker on the knob of your bat. And it's the casing around that protects the tracker. But during the game, they take out the tracker. It's just the casing. And it's just something he's comfortable with. It's just, you see modifications at the bottom of the bats all the time and all that. And he just likes the way he can grip it a little bit better. They made him take it off for his first at bat and he struck out, kind of annoying because it took like 10 minutes to get through the at bat too. Next time through, and they had pre-cleared this with the MLB, and the MLB just needed to get the confirmation to the umpiring crew to say, hey, it's allowed. So next at bat he had it and that's when he hit the home run.
I didn't realize that. I thought the tracker might still be in it. So this is just a batting practice thing that he uses it for then, huh?
It tells you, I guess it tracks your bat speed, tracks your swing plane. I'm not quite sure about all the details there, but embrace technology, find ways to improve your game. Obviously can't use it in a game, I would think, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't there. It's just the casing.
If the pitchers can use PitchCom, I don't have a problem if he does use it, to be honest with you.
Right. All the advancements in baseball, I shouldn't say all of them, but more of them have been done in favor of pitchers in the last 10 years than hitters. And I think you see that with the different type of movement on pitches, the increase in velocity. It seems like there's been a lot of advancements that made pitching a lot better, but not as many for hitting. So kind of like seeing this.
Let's get to one of the big stories of the day fantasy-wise, and that's Mike Trout's injury, 4 to 8 weeks with a Hammett bone.
Yeah, brutal injury. He's for a guy that's had a number – of in-season injuries, it's really frustrating. The other thing too that it's pretty big is Angels when they were only three games out of the wild card when he suffered that injury. They've lost a couple since then. They've got a tough decision to make. Otani's a free agent at the end of the year. They really want to have a chance of re-signing him, but the only way they have a chance to re-sign him is if they win or show that they're going to win. What do they do at the trade deadline? So this is a critical month for the Angels. They need to put together a hot streak here to avoid being sellers at the trade deadline.
Yeah, they've lost 7 of 8 at the time that you and I are speaking here. Plus, Otani had that cracked fingernail and blister issue as well on top of it, right?
Yeah, just a little cherry on top of a stinky Sunday there for them. It's really frustrating for Angels fans. We won't see Otani pitch in the All-Star game, but we will see him hit.
In terms of the All-Star game, the Pirates get two in Bednar and Keller. I imagine with the way things are going for the Pirates, a lot of people, both from a fantasy standpoint and just a baseball fan standpoint, are keeping their eyes on Bednar. It's easy for the Pirates to keep him, but it's also easy for them to trade him because, you know, they've done this. They do this all the time with their closers. One thing the Pirates always seem to have is a good closer that somebody wants.
Yeah, and they're good, you know, and the organizational philosophy of being willing to trade him. The fact that they can keep him so readily also makes him more marketable. They can get a better prospect for him if they so choose to go that route. On the flip side, though, they don't have to trade him. So we'll see how that plays out. It's with the Pirates. They played hard against the Dodgers this week. They always play the Dodgers well. I think last year, didn't they take like 5 out of 6 from the Dodgers?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, the Pirates do have a reputation of playing Los Angeles well, and they miss Kershaw, obviously. And, yeah, you know, they're getting kind of some random pitchers. They're getting Urias, excuse me, today to close out the series against them. But another tough loss for the Pirates last night. They are so bad with runners in scoring position, leaving men on base. You know, especially if you've got a Pirate or two on your fantasy team, there are just so many RBIs that are left there on the bases. And it happened again last night. I think they were 2 for 9 with runners in scoring position, Jeff, and they left 10 men on base.
Ouch. Ouch. And this is after like a big rally the night before. They jumped Bobby Miller. They got 4 runs on him early, and yet they couldn't hold on. That was the tough part, too.
And Contreras, a guy that a lot of people are counting on around here, continues to take steps backwards.
Yeah.
I mentioned Urias. He's a guy who's kind of been midline all year, if not worse than that. Were you expecting more out of him this season or no?
I expected maybe a drop back. And for one, his batting average and balls in play last year was pretty darn low. Two, you know, the shift limitations plus the loss of key personnel kind of made it so that, you know, a guy that pitches to contact doesn't get as many strikeouts as other aces. It's more, maybe more prone to giving up more hits on balls in play. So you see that. And then, Vargas is a fun player, but he's not really a second baseman. He's a guy standing at second base, right? You've got, you know, they lost Trey Turner instead. You've got Rojas at shortstop. And sometimes you have Mookie Betts at shortstop. And Mookie Betts is many things, but, you know, putting him at shortstop is asking a lot, I would say. So you kind of, and then I think he's lost a little bit of velocity too, Urias has. So all these things have conspired to make him a lot worse than he was last year.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking somewhere maybe high threes, low fours ERA, but 4.94 with a whip of 1.23 right now, 5-5. Just not enough. And another guy that got to the Dodgers yesterday was Sawinski for the Pirates. He's now up to 19 homers, Jeff. What's the fantasy perception of Sawinski as a player?
Under the radar. I mean, how many people could, you know, if you asked how many people, how like 100 fantasy players, how many home runs Sawinski has, I wouldn't be surprised if like half of them said 10 or less. It's just, you know, it wasn't a guy that we were super expecting a ton from. And, you know, it's also a guy that, you know, kind of, you know, didn't have that pedigree. He gets like a couple homers every week, though, it seems like. So, he did have a couple of slump weeks in there. He was one of the four that was in that massive slump when the Pirates were really hurting. But he's back now at least. And, yeah, I like him. He's playing some center field. Good little player.
Back to the Dodgers. One injury we skipped over, Dustin May on the 60-day DL as well.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of expected him to miss the season as it was. So this is just confirmation of that. But, you know, it just shows, I mean, the Dodgers, I mean, they don't have the depth that they've had in other years. And so when they get these injuries, it's just that much more impactful.
Last thing on baseball, Jeff, and then we'll get to a couple quick football notes. But last thing on baseball, here in Pittsburgh, people are starting to panic because there's this groundswell that they're actually going to take the high school kid, Max Clark, on top of the draft. I don't know how much stuff you guys are doing on the draft at RotoWire, but Paul Skeens and Dylan Cruz have practically become household names to Major League Baseball fans, and the Pirates might pass on both of them.
That would be wild, but it also might be a lot of misinformation out there.
Negotiating ploy, potentially, for the agents, right?
Yeah, I guess. But, I mean, you know, the way baseball is structured now, you almost never see it. You never see the problem signing your first-round pick unless the guy is just hard set on not – not coming back. But, you know, for the most part, he should just take the best player. I'm not too concerned.
Football-wise, Jeff, it's a little quiet right now. What have you guys been tracking in advance of fantasy drafts next month?
I mean, right now, I mean, there's a couple of free agents out there, and there's been no movement on that. We still don't know where Hopkins is going to play. We don't know where Elliott's going to play. We're waiting to see the hammer drop on Alvin Kamara, kind of waiting to see on that one there. And then there's just a lot of noise right now. You get a lot of like, oh, they said this, he said that. It's just we're begging for news. And even like a lot of the writers are on taking their vacations right now. It's the last pause before training camp madness starts, and it's like 6 months of nonstop. So I imagine you're in a similar boat there, looking to kind of get a chance to get away before you get a chance before you're fully immersed in Latrobe and just. And all that goes with that.
Yeah, I'll be up in Nova Scotia for about a week. There's not a lot of NFL fantasy football talk up there this time of year.
No, sorry.
maybe a little fallout still from the NHL draft, but that's about it. You know, one guy who's getting buzz here, a little bit surprising amount, is Freiermuth. Every time I pick up something to read, he's gaining some traction, and I don't know if that's going to be the case. In fact, I wonder if his targets might get dropped because Washington got drafted. If anything, I think Pickens should be the guy who ascends from a fantasy standpoint for the Steelers.
Sure, but I would also say that there'll be a little bit of a rising tide. I mean, Pickett threw so few touchdowns last year. There's going to be more to go around this year. So while we focus on like Freiermuth and Deontay Johnson not scoring, I mean, the fact is, there were too many scoring opportunities, period. And I think the Pittsburgh offense will be better. You know, we can go back and forth about the offensive coordinator. We can talk about the line, but I think there'll be more continuity this year, and I think that will help.
Jeff, what's going on at RotoWire this week? I know we're going into a little bit of a lull here for the All-Star game after the Pirates conclude their series against the Diamondbacks. It's the Pittsburgh's perspective going into the series, but what do you have at RotoWire this week?
So I just got my latest top 150 posted up on the site for fantasy football for PPR leagues. It is free. Don't even need to do a trial or anything to get behind the paywall for this one here. Just check it out. I'm going to be posting them. Once training camp starts, I'm posting a new set of top 150 rankings every single week on Wednesdays. But you can check out our draft kit. You can check out all of our baseball coverage. It's a good time to kind of assess your team, see if you're just like teams are doing for the real in real life, doing your fantasy teams to see if you're a contender in your keeper leagues or whether you should be a seller. Check out all of our content. You can get a free trial, peek behind the paywall. Just go to rotowire.com/free.
Jeff, thanks. We'll do it again in 2 weeks, all right?
You bet. Thanks, Tim.
Jeff Erickson from RotoWire.